Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mosaic House Church Online Worship. Today is Mosaic House Church's 14th birthday. So happy birthday to you all. It is very fitting for us to therefore address this message. We've been talking about shaped for significance, right? Significance is about creating a lasting legacy by who you are and the difference you make in others. It's about your orientation and your action. You become significant because Jesus is alive and He is enthroned and He's in charge, He's sovereign, and He is shaping you. You and I are being shaped for significance by our orientation and our action, by who we are and the difference we make in others. I'm going to read to you from 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, and the last one of these is the 2 Timothy. So here's the background. Paul has followed Jesus Christ. He was a seeker, he became a believer, and he became a worker, and he became a multiplier. And he went everywhere telling everyone that Jesus is alive. And in Christ, there's hope, there's joy, and there's power, and there's meaning and purpose. The Apostle Paul lived it as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, when he wrote the 2 Timothy, the last letter that he has written, he was in Rome, in prison. And he knows he's about to be executed. He is going to be beheaded. So he pens down these words to his disciple, Timothy. And this is why this letter, 2 Timothy, is most personal and most, what's the word I'm looking for? It's so tender-hearted. So let's receive it. Let's receive it. And let's find out what are the Apostle Paul's last words before he's executed. What are his last words? I want to find out. You want to find out. Because as we do so, we are being shaped for significance. Because the Apostle Paul lived a life of great significance. So hear the word of the Lord from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us. Would you join me in reading the second chapter, verses 1 and 2? Let's read it together. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses. Entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, our God and Lord, in the name of Jesus, and by the power and the person of the Holy Spirit living in us, open our eyes that we may see Jesus. Open our ears that we may hear Jesus. Open our hearts that we may conceive Jesus in our soul and spirit. To your glory, we pray all this in the name of Jesus. And God's people say together, amen, amen, amen. Here's the theme and the goal. Write these words. By the grace of Jesus Christ, you make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, dot, dot, dot. It is a movement. When you follow Jesus Christ, we become like Him in our character, which is the definition of significance, right? We become like Christ in our orientation, in our heart, in our character, in our inner being. And then we do what Jesus has done, which is making difference in the lives of others. But it starts with not by our might, not by our confidence, not by what we can offer. It all begins with the grace of Jesus Christ. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we make disciples who make disciples. Let's go to verse 9. Listen. He has saved us. God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It begins with what? With the grace of Jesus Christ. Not that anything that we have done, not that who we are. No. It begins with who Jesus is. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. And He is the Sustainer of your soul and mine. And He is giving us this power through His grace. Grace means gift. It's not of our might. It's not what we have done. It's not who we are. It's who Jesus is and what He has done for us. It is by that grace. What do? We respond to that rich grace. How? We make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. What's a disciple? Here's a definition. A disciple is a person who devotes himself, herself, to the movement of Jesus Christ. You are not simply a believer. You must become a multiplier, and that is because Jesus Christ is calling you and me by His grace, His invitation. We are being transformed in our character. We become like Jesus. We grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, long-suffering. We become like Christ's character. And that's why we do what Jesus began doing, which is to make disciples who make disciples. And this is a movement. And I appreciate that articulation and definition because movement is what? It's alive. Jesus is alive, and therefore we are alive. Jesus is risen, and therefore the church is alive, and therefore we are a living organism. And as such, we multiply Jesus Christ. Movement to multiply Jesus. I want you to see the four generations in this movement. Because when you have the four generations, it becomes perpetual. It is never ending. It continues. It grows. It moves. It multiplies. Listen to this. Verse 5. Paul speaking, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. The Apostle Paul came to this region near modern-day Turkey, and then he made disciples of Lois, the grandmother. And then that faith got passed down to Timothy's mother, Eunice. And that faith now lives in Timothy. Now, you're going to say, well, how does that work? How is that possible? that I received faith from my mother and my grand. No. What the Bible is saying, what the Apostle Paul is saying in the power of the Holy Spirit is this: faith, when it is robust, genuine, and sincere, it multiplies, it generates, faith generates, and therefore it is moving on. It's a movement in word. So that faith in Christ Jesus first got passed down from Paul to the grandmother, Lois, and to the mother, Eunice, and now it lives in Timothy also. And that's what Paul is saying. I am persuaded, I am convinced, it is evident that true faith in Jesus Christ is living in you also, Timothy. Let's go to 2nd chapter, verse 1, which we read together. Listen, four generations, right? Okay, Paul, Lois, Eunice, Timothy. And this faith is continuing. There's one more evidence in verse 1. Verse 2. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. You catch that? What does the word entrust mean? It means to assign the responsibility for doing something to another person. That's what it means to entrust to somebody else. Something important, a task, responsibility, a movement. Passing on the faith. You give that responsibility, you give that joy to somebody else. And there are four generations. Look at this. First generation, Jesus disciples Paul. Second generation, Paul disciples Timothy. Third generation, Timothy disciples reliable people. And fourth generation is reliable people discipling others. When the four generations occur, then it becomes perpetual. It becomes a movement. And that's why it is the highest, most significant significance, I dare say. Every one of you is either one of those four, as in this. Seeker, would you repeat after me? Seeker, believer, worker, multiplier. Seeker, just like the woman at the well in John chapter 3, Jesus is seeking you. And it's because Jesus is seeking you by His grace, you will become what? A believer. The woman at the well, when Christ sought after her, she became a believer. And so believer is like an infant, a young child. And then seeker, believer, and then you become a worker. Ephesians 4, as you serve, as you identify, discover the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit entrusted in your care, and as you grow in your faith and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you realize you are here because you're being shaped for significance, and you're making a difference in the lives of others by who you are and by utilizing your spiritual gifts. So you become a worker, seeker, believer, worker, but then you go all the way. You become a multiplier. You pass this gospel of Jesus Christ, this faith you have in this living Lord, you give that to somebody else, and you make sure that somebody else is entrusted for the same task, and that person is keeping the movement going. And therefore, seeker, believer, worker, and multiplier. Which one of the four are you today? I was once a seeker, then I became a believer, and I became a worker. I began growing. But you become a fully mature follower of Jesus Christ when you become a multiplier. So that is the goal and the expectation Jesus is setting before you and me. How do we do that? We live out the values that Christ set before us. As a way of review, let's go through the list. Value of Scripture, to know Jesus. You have to grow. You get to grow. You want to grow in your knowledge of Jesus Christ by His grace. Prayer. To meet Jesus. Prayer is not getting things from Jesus. Prayer is getting Jesus in your prayer. First and foremost, you commune with Him. You connect with Him. He speaks to you through the Scripture, and you speak back to Him in prayer. Scripture, prayer, and then generosity. To show Jesus, as Christ has shown generosity to you, you get to show Jesus by displaying your generosity to others, like your talents, your time, and your treasure. And you engage in acts of justice and mercy. And then what's the fourth? Community. To belong with Jesus. Because you believe in Jesus, you belong with His people, and you belong with Jesus Christ, and therefore their sense of community. And then fourth, sent out to go with Jesus. Jesus is risen from the dead. He did not stay in the tomb. The tomb is empty. He is risen, and therefore He's loose. He's going to places. He's going to people. He's going to go seek out the seekers, right? So we go with Jesus. We are sent out. And lastly, movement to multiply Jesus. We make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, so that everyone in your life becomes a child of God. And by the grace of Christ, they are brought to this life and immortality through the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wonder by now you are feeling, oh, timid and unqualified. Do you feel that way? Do you feel timid? This is like a big task. I don't know if I can do it, right? Okay. Well, Timothy can relate to your timidity and your sense of feeling unqualified. Listen, this is why the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy these words. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Friends, the Lord is assuring you. Do not rely on your own might or your own qualification. Instead, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. In the grace. It's not you or I. It's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself working in us and through us. Verse 7, one more time. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Timothy was feeling timid. And that's why I call him Timid Timothy. And the Apostle Paul is encouraging him, not with persuasion, but in the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus does not call the equipped. Jesus, the Lord, equips the called. Let me repeat that. It's worth repeating. God is not calling you because you are equipped. He's equipping you because He is calling you. I'm not equipped. That's not why God called me. But since God has called me, He has equipped me. I often say at Mosaic House Church this, Jesus does not need your ability. He just wants your, when you make yourself available to Him, He will give you the power and the grace in the Holy Spirit. There are three domains. May I use that word? Three domains or three environments where you multiply Jesus, where you make disciples, who make disciples. The three environments are my house, our house, and the big house. My house refers to your personal spheres of influence. Our house refers to your house church. And the big house refers to the gathering of all the house churches and everyone on our Sunday corporate worship. So it's like this, my house, it's the individual, I make disciples, who make disciples individually, one-on-one. And also, we do it communally in our house churches. Throughout the week, you gather together and you make disciples who make disciples communally. But we also make disciples, we multiply Jesus collectively, as in the big house. We multiply church planting movement, because in church planting, the movement of Jesus Christ continues. There is making discipleship becomes perpetual mission of Jesus Christ in the life of the church. So let me give you a couple of examples. So for me, I disciple individually, one-on-one. And the end goal, the expectation that we have is, hey, once as Jesus Christ discipled Paul, Paul discipled Timothy, and Timothy discipled the reliable people, and the reliable people discipled others, and that generation has continued all the way to Victor Co., and this movement is going on. It's moving perpetually, even now, in the lives of individuals, because I'm investing my time, my talents, and those people that I disciple, they are expected. We get to make disciples. House churches, I have permission to share this. Laura Boy was a lead missionary, leader in a house church that met weekly. And then she discipled Renee. Renee did not know how to pray publicly. But under Laura's investment, under Laura's disciple-making endeavors, Renee became a mature, more fully developed follower of Jesus Christ, so much so that she began leading a house church herself. And Renee identified Jessica. And Renee poured out her time and effort in Jessica's soul. Jessica became more developed. She became equipped because God has called her. And lo and behold, fast forward, Jessica became a lead missionary and she has been leading a house church, serving in a house church. It doesn't stop there. That's the third generation, right? And now Jessica has identified Tiana. And Tiana is being groomed, being discipled to be the next disciple maker in another house church. So the movement is going on. Jesus is being multiplied, not only individually, but also communally in house churches. And the last one is this, the big house, the gathering of all the house churches. Did you know Mosaic House Church began as one house church and it grew, it multiplied. And lo and behold, we became an organized church. And the Lord Jesus Christ gave us this vision so, so clearly and so compellingly, which was this. He said to us, I am going to start Mosaic House Church, not just one church, but this Mosaic House Church will multiply itself every 5 years. And then that's why it is in our DNA, it is in our mission that we plant churches that reproduces, multiplies itself every 5 years. So lo and behold, by the grace of Jesus Christ, we identified Aaron Howe. When we turned 5 years old, we sent him out with a team, and that team planted the Avenue Church in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then a few years after that, we identified Andrew and Shannon Hawes. They were aspiring church planters. They wanted to make disciples of Jesus Christ. So we invested in Andrew and Shannon Hawes, and we sent them off to Victoria. And then shortly thereafter, the Holy Spirit gave us another opportunity. We planted in the grace of Jesus Christ East Campus. And we did not stop there. We kept on investing Jesus movement, right? Ryan Peedy, he became the next church planter in Fort Saskatchewan. The church is called Bridge Church, and the Holy Spirit is doing amazing things in and through that congregation. And we collectively at Mosaic House Church, we invested our time and talent and treasure in planting that church as well. And what's next? What's next? Pastor Jeremiah. He has been discipled to become the next church planter. And he's going to go and he's going to start another church plant, which will bring another, which will multiply in 5 years. So the movement of Jesus Christ is continuing. I just so, so am thankful that as we are turning 14 years old today, the vision and the mission that Christ has set before us is worthy of your calling and my calling. Friends, let's land the plane, shall we? You are being shaped for significance. you are creating a lasting legacy by who you are, a disciple of Jesus Christ, and the difference you make in the lives of others. You make disciples. Who make disciples? Who make disciples? Because people need Jesus. Jesus is the hope of the world. Jesus is our joy. He gives you meaning, purpose, joy, and destiny. Will you join Jesus in his movement? Pray with me. Risen Christ, we follow you. You are our God and our Lord. You have the words of life. You are the life, and you are the truth, and you are the way. Thank you so much for giving us this significant purpose in our lives. We want to make a difference. We want our lives to count. So use us, O Lord. We are wholly available to your glory and to the saving of many lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.